Welcome to podcast 330 of Five Star Potential, your weekly football manager podcast. I'm Duke, and on this week's pod, I am joined by Paul, aka Mad FM, Joe, aka Friday Night FM, and Dave, aka Unai Emery's love child. Welcome, gentlemen. How are we doing?
What's that one about? What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know who's wrote the pod, but I just
before it said, "What is Mr. O'Neill cooking?" or something like that, and I was like, "That's shit." So because Aston Villa doing well, that'll trigger Dave. He's you know, light skin, dark hair. Says good evening a lot.
Yeah, true.
The O'Neill cooking one. He was almost microwaving yesterday against who were we playing? Burnley. Beat him 1-0, Burnley. But
okay.
We're gonna have to get like a quite
the high heat. Yeah. What?
Okay.
Low and slow.
Yeah.
No context.
Continue.
Thank you. Well, on this week's pod, we're gonna have our usual save updates where there's been a lot happening offline for some. We'll talk a little bit about managing squad and match fitness in FM during busy fixture schedules. And we'll be heading back to Germany for our adventures in Wonderkid Land. But before that, standard kickoff, lads. Who's your winners and your losers of the week? We'll start with you, Joe.
Well, Mad's written luck modifier, so I'm guessing that's my winner of the week.
Why?
It depends if you close the save, if you close down FM, Joe, following that tweet.
Of course I did. Mate, if you're good at FM, you don't need a luck modifier.
Wow. Was it Curtie that really fought the luck modifier?
It's everyone.
It was a big thing. Dan as well.
No, but like he was big onto it, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but
he was proper big into it.
He loved to have the rain makes a big difference, didn't he? Which,
oh yeah,
it makes a slight difference, but he was adamant, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
big bless rain him. Man.
We need EFM.
Bless him. Okay,
he's probably cool. Listening because he's coming out of us soon, isn't he? So, hello, Curtie.
Is he definitely coming
on the Sunday? 100%.
I think if he comes on the Sunday, then I reckon we'll get him on a podcast very, very soon. So if you are a Curtie fan, go tweet him and tell him to never come
wake
on.
Up.
Wake up! Oh my god!
Come say hi.
Honestly, that is one of my Patrick. Yeah. There's a few moments. Yeah, look at that. No, why have you got him as knobhead in your phone?
It's how I remember.
There's a few moments in my lifetime on this podcast, and I got a good top five, and two of them involve him. So yeah,
go on. What are they? Him asleep. What's he want?
Him asleep, and then the fitness comment has got to be up there with like
no, and the VR moment.
Oh, the VR moment.
The VR video
that wasn't on the podcast though, right?
But, I think it was on a Twitch stream though, wasn't it?
Oh my god,
I've got the videos. Of it, so it must have been on Twitch.
Yeah. So that was, he bought it for his missus and then decided to use it. So if you don't know, we went to TwitchCon, me, him and Teach. Like obviously both of them used to be on the pod. And then he decided to buy a VR headset. And this was like way back. This is 2018 probably.
Yeah, it's probably big.
And this is like before they were big. And he had it on and it was just fucking hilarious. Me and Teacher just putting like furniture in his way.
If you've ever seen Ronnie O'Sullivan playing Paul on VR.
Oh my god, that's quality.
It's similar with that.
Yeah, where he leans on the table and just falls on his ass. Yeah. yeah, bless him. It was hilarious. That wasn't even the funniest part of the trip. He had a couple like where he broke his trousers. And then he had to get an Uber back from the convention centre. That was quite funny. And then the second one was when he was snoring so loud, me and Teach genuinely thought there was an earthquake. Like the building was shaking and we were on like the 47th floor. And that was another one.
When he bummed you in the hotel.
I mean, he didn't, but he was like...
Dave rung us. It was like a walrus.
Sounded like a walrus was having a filling. Do you know what I mean? It just sounded awful.
He has got a medical condition for sleeping that he's sorted out now. So we're
digging
him out.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He's one of
them. Do you know, I'll be honest with you. He's one of the most loveliest guys in the world, yeah.
He can take it.
Absolutely. Yeah, he gets a lot of it.
And he's a big fan of punching desks as well. Hang on, we fucking ain't got past me yet. My winner of the week.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Your winner of the week is Curtie because he's coming out with us. Is that what it is?
He's coming out. He does love that t-shirt.
Red jumper.
Different one, but yes, go on.
So I tweeted at a little Sunday session on FM, and you never go off on a win. So I kept playing. I drew a game, and then I wanted to play against Vitória just because it was a bit of a grudge match. Won that game, and then finished for the evening. It was about, it was just before the late kickoff.
Packers game.
Yeah, because I was I was like, no, I can't stay awake.
Because it was mental, wasn't it?
I tweeted it.
Because you were playing really well.
Yeah. And I tweeted it the next day because I just thought, you know, something to post. And I was like, do you remember people would go like, wouldn't switch the game off, wouldn't switch their computer off because they were on a run?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a thing.
It was really quick though, because we went from, I'm going to watch the first half and play some more because we're doing really well, to just go to bed. So I'm like, oh, okay. So
I wanted to,
you should have stayed awake as well. They won.
I couldn't. I couldn't stay awake playing FM. I find with this version though, I spend a lot more time adjusting my tactics in the second half. I just find that if you just set and forget, which you definitely could do in previous editions, you would get a result. Now I tend to find there's always big momentum swings. So I always change. I'm always changing the not necessarily the base kind of formation, but definitely the in possession, out of possession, like what we're doing in terms of pressing and, you know, slowing the game down, work ball into the box, or if I'm chasing the game, going for more direct and, you know, hitting early crosses and things like that. So always changing those now, because I feel like if you ever let it run, the momentum just swings so much. But as soon as you make changes, it nullifies it.
Yeah, I agree. I've been doing it with some player roles as well, like namely the striker, where I, just depending on what I see, because I'm usually on extended highlights, and I've been doing that a lot. But equally, the same as usual, a lot of tactical tweaks to particularly slow down the game, playing for set pieces. But I was going to ask you, do you ever use match plans? Like, I've never really...
No. Has anyone ever used them? I think Foxy's about the only person I've ever seen use a match plan. I use my own match plan. It's in my head.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is it something we should, you know, are you doing the same things, do you think, or is it really different every, you know?
No, mate,
you know?
Look, you've had a lucky escape here. We've put in luck modifier down, all right? Just let's move on. Let's not talk about match plans.
What I will say, Joe, is you got through those games very, very quickly. And I don't think it's something that we've referenced on the pod yet, but do you want to just care to quickly explain your little trick you got going on at the moment to speed the game up? Because I think it's absolutely incredible. Your auto processing, your auto continue.
Oh, the force continue thing. Yeah, mate. Oh,
yeah.
Game changer for me. Just setting it to, I think, is it 5 seconds or 10 seconds? I've got it set to. Mm. So if you're not doing anything, it just literally, it's like the force continue on the network game. It will just continue through until the next time that you're needed to do an action. So if you've got a transfer bid come in, or you've got to discipline a player or do something like that, it will literally just force continue, and you just get through the day so much, so quickly. Because I tend to find that I get out of a match and then I kind of dilly-dally, or I'm looking on Twitter, or I'm in Discord talking, or I'm doing something and I forget to click continue. And that would extend my game time. Having this force continue on, it flies through the dead days. And sometimes it does catch you out when you go to do something and it is on one and then it automatically continues. Like, fuck. But for the couple of those, it's well worth doing.
Yeah, awesome. I have to second that. I've been playing it this year and I really enjoy it. Matt, what about you? Who is your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is Kurt. No, it's not. The thing that's been kind of in my head all week has been cup draws. And obviously, real life events have a little bit to play. Not just the Sunderland, Newcastle Sunderland, of course. And I don't like saying the word because I can't pronounce it. Sunderland.
It's Newcastle.
But it also ties into, like, obviously, Newcastle have had some crazy luck with the cup draws, in particular the Champions League, where we got like Milan, Dortmund, and PSG in a group. But my connection with that and into FM is because I've got Ike into the Champions League, but it's the second season in game. So I've gone into that new format again. And, you know, part of me is looking at Newcastle in real life. As hard as that group is, it's great crack. Like, even that group now is going into game week 6 and it's wide open. And I'm in the Champions League now, playing in a league table with 36 teams with 8 random games, ranging from Barcelona and Milan and Dortmund to Sturm Graz. I think I had Celtic in there, Fenerbahce. It just all feels a bit weird because you don't really know what the hell is going to happen until you have 7 of those 8 games played. So I guess that new format is kind of taking the fun out of cup draws for me versus getting the standard 3 opponents in the group. So that's been in my head, Dupe. Probably a loser.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have to admit, I think you've probably covered both there. Yeah. I know it's locked in, but I hope there's a U-turn, because it just doesn't, it doesn't feel nice at all. I quite like the jeopardy. Yeah, okay, we've not had a great Champions League run at the moment, but you know, I like the fact that we have to rely on other results in our group to, and it's just, it makes it relevant. Whereas if you're just in a big table of 36 teams, it's like, you know, it's not free really. You can't build those little kind of narratives and the narratives you've got PSG.
But at the moment, lads, both of your teams, you're going to love that new format next year when you get a fifth place.
Yes, I'll agree.
League spot, mate. You two, one of you two could be in love.
It's obviously down to coefficient, isn't it? And obviously, if we both get knocked out at bottom of our groups, then we're probably not going to help that coefficient. But yes, that would be beneficial. But I mean, are we not just now getting to a little bit point where it used to be just the champions and it's just the Champions League, and now it's like the top four, and now it's going to be five, and where's it going to fucking stop?
Super League.
Like, genuinely? Oh, yeah. Moving swiftly on.
It's obvious, wasn't it?
I don't want to talk about that fucking shit. David!
Probably Hwang Hee-chan is my winner. A player that was Hwang Hee-chan. Absolutely average for the last two or three years. And all of a sudden, especially at Molineux, he's firing. So at the time of recording, we've had 7 home games so far this season in the league. He scored in 6 of them. He's already got, I think, 9 goals in all competitions. Bearing in mind, our top goal scorer last season was Neves with 6. So we smashed that already. And I think, so 6 home goals. Our top goal scorer, in the Premier League for one complete season in the league, was Jimenez with 8 at home. 8 home goals. So he's already on 6. So he's doing well. Seems to be the right place at the right time, every time. So, kicking on. And obviously, South Koreans, they love it. I saw every home game now, I'm seeing more and more South Korean fans there. So I know some people don't like it, sort of adding that tourist sort of element to the game. But obviously for the club, it's great at the minute.
Has anything changed, Dave, like his role, or can you see any? Because you go to obviously almost all of the home games, right? And some away games. Can you, in the eye test, can you see a difference?
A little bit. I think we always knew that he was a very good finisher in terms of getting chances in around the area. But I think the key thing that Gary O'Neill's done is actually start to get more players around the attackers and get forward in numbers. But like I said, his sort of attacking position has just been bang on. But I think a confidence thing definitely helps. Like the goal he scored against Burnley recently, sort of he got the ball, almost faked it, and then put it, you know, just rolled it into the back of the net. Whereas before, if you're desperate for goals, you probably would have just hit that first time. But he's got a lot more composure to his game now. So as long as it can continue, Wolves have got a really decent player there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sign of a good striker to be in the positions, right? You've got to be there to tap it in. And everyone, obviously, you know, Sam's, you haven't got to be a scorer of great goals. You've just got to be a great scorer of goals, right? And that, being in the right place will kind of lead to that. Awesome. My win of the week is me. I'm a winner. Because podcast goes out on Monday, I will hopefully 9 PM be streaming. So
no way,
I is a winner.
He also edits his podcast, so that won't be in there.
Hopefully, yeah. You never know. Right, let's move straight on to losers of the week, because we'll touch upon what we're streaming later in save updates. Joseph, who is your loser, and why is it Mad FM?
I don't know why he's written himself in there again.
He just wants to be relevant.
If it doesn't say his name or Newcastle or Sunderland, Evan Ferguson. I'm going to Newcastle next week.
Oh, I'm going to Newcastle.
Class. Have you got your Irish Mags flag?
I have a Newcastle flag from when I was about 7.
No. I thought that'd be an initiation.
Oh, you're not going to do one of them. You know when Liverpool won the Premier League and everyone put pictures on that bit, like wearing a Liverpool shirt when they were 4 years old?
Because you could only buy 3 shirts in the UK.
We're not going to win the league.
You're right. So, Joe, who's your loser of the week?
Why is it me?
It is mad.
Still not letting me play FM, other than that Sunday session that shall not be spoken about.
Not
I've really got a loser of the week. If I don't say mad, I'm just going to say football again because just falling out of love with it, to be honest. Just it doesn't seem to be any positivity around anything. I mean, I said to Dupe tonight that it was nice to see two wingers taking on players, but it's just fucking negative, isn't it? It's just moaning about fucking everything. Everything's a moan about football. You don't see anything positive. There was at the weekend, how many goals were scored? Fucking brilliant.
It was
entertaining football in nearly every single game. And yet, they're still fucking moaning about refereeing decisions or some shit. Fucking Man City have got 115 charges against them. Gary Neville didn't win four in a row. It's just fucking bollocks, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I agree.
We watched football because we love football. And now all people do is fucking moan about it.
When you find that about Football Manager as well, right?
I think that's every walk of life nowadays. People just look for negatives, though, don't they? Everything nowadays.
But negatives get more clicks than positives, right?
They will choose to be negative.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
But people prefer to read negative stuff than positive stuff.
I mean, I'm moaning about fucking people moaning, so.
Yeah, true.
But I love the positive side of it. You know, I was saying before this, everyone, West Ham fans knew about Declan Rice, you know, but so did Arsenal. That's why they bought him. You know, and they're talking about him as if this is something that Arsenal didn't know. You know, clearly they knew what they were doing. Everybody that's fucking watched football for the last 2 years has known that Declan Rice, yeah, he's in that, what we used to refer to like the McAlealy role, where he does the dirty work that doesn't go recognised. And maybe you don't see it when he's not playing for your team. But, I mean, I've watched so many games, West Ham games with Duke, and you'll just say, just watch him. And it's just like nothing gets by him. He just intercepts balls and it doesn't even look like he's trying. But like, just a fantastic player. And why now they think they've uncovered some gem that they've paid over £100 million for, I don't know how you're a gem for that much money, you know?
Yeah.
Be just more positive. Morning. Enjoy football.
I like that. That's really nice. I think we should probably just skip the rest of the losers of the week and just stick with that little sentiment of be more positive about
Patrick wants to
football.
Moan, doesn't he?
Go on then, Patrick.
About talking Wolves and talking Saudi.
That's not even that. I just like, what I've written here is that everyone on Twitter is a transfer in the know. Like, this is, again, like Nick Pope picked up an injury and within three, the game wasn't even finished and people were tweeting going like, oh, David De Gea is moving to Newcastle. Like,
yeah, but that's just clicks, mate.
It spread like,
can I just say one thing,
like a disease.
Can I just say one thing?
I'll say one thing as well. Duke loves that shit.
Yeah, he is that.
Inject that shit into me. But look, man, I'll be honest. And this is the biggest compliment I'm going to give you ever. Okay?
Me or Newcastle?
Congratulations on being relevant, right? And that's why people make these up, because it gets clicked and people want to see it. And that is what happens when you are a team that is being talked about a lot at the moment and it's relevant at the moment and you get the clicks. So congratulations.
Remember that's when Wolves were signed Zhao Polinia for like 3 seasons?
Yeah.
But that was just talking Wolves that tweeted that. We know what they're like.
To be fair, and I will give him credit while he's on here, he does link all his sources. You don't often get a bit of a shitter. And the amount of times I talk about a player and they were like, yeah, we were linked with him. Does a little talking Wolves search. Bosh.
Yeah. I remember them all.
I think he's talking Wolves is fairly spot on, apart from who they sign.
Dave, you got anyone you want to add before we swiftly move on?
The loser?
Yeah.
Probably me. I don't think I've streamed since the last pod.
Fuck you now.
I know. It's been busy, but like, I haven't.
When you're getting your willy wet, mate.
I wish.
What's his name?
Yeah, I wish.
Is this where my Twitch subscription is going? Good God.
No. I'll be back on it. I don't think I've streamed since I joined the new team, to be fair. So, I'll have to get back on it next week, hopefully.
Monday.
Yeah, I'll be back on it Monday. Busy this week. Maybe Sunday. Sunday, Monday. I'll be on it.
Awesome. My loser of the week is me. Because I don't have a save to go to. We'll talk about it later, but I haven't actually got a save I'm locked in on. But talking about saves and being locked in, should we do some save updates? Joe, you said you weren't going to give us a bumper one. Can you remember? Or should we move on? I'm looking at you and
mate,
you're looking at me. And
I'm going to Florida, mate, for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Don't. Have you seen? Maybe. I might just
take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Just get it over with, because you know when that game comes out, that you're just gonna want to. When you're at work, you're gonna think about it, and you want to play it. So I might just fucking long work off for like 3 months.
Just to
binge it.
Have you seen the advert, the trailer? Yeah.
Yeah, sick.
So the trailer. If you go and put GTA 6, this is a complete tangent, by the way. GTA 6 trailer versus real life. It's actual news footage
of Florida,
Florida people. It's mental. So good, Can we promise one thing?
Before Dave knows what we're doing, mate, didn't you?
Yeah, I know what
we're going to get on the rooftop.
Mate, we're going to be playing darts.
I saw one too about that earlier, yeah.
Oh, mate. We will turn into the GTA 6 podcast. I fucking love it.
I was going to say, I've never...
Like a fucking tic-tac.
I've never ever been into the GTAs properly. Obviously, we played quite a little bit a couple of years ago. I say couple. It's probably like 4 or 5 years ago, to be fair.
Mate, when you get in the shag pad, mate, you'll be all over it.
Yeah, but if you consider, when the last one came out, I wasn't even 18, so I couldn't even buy it.
What?
I started college, and I think I was 17 when I started. 16 or 17.
He's 19.
So, I never bought it, and I think I've bought the game on PC, and I think I had it on PS4, but I've never did like story mode or anything. I couldn't tell you what happened.
5 was the only one I've ever been interested in. Like the others, I wasn't really 18.
That old, I remember the top down version when I was in
school. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that today.
I had that on floppy disk.
Oh my! I ain't floppy. I'll tell you that for nothing. Okay.
Anyway, maybe not Florida. Save updates.
But let's go for a minute, Cal. What are you saying? What's your name and where you come from?
I think we got towards the end of the first season in my last update, judging by what I've written down in my book. I'm pretty sure I said about transfer budget-wise, we had the 10% of Pedro Goncalves, his transfer from Sporting to Newcastle, so that gave us a few million pounds in the old transfer kitty. Our right back Nathan was in the team of the year, only player outside the big three that got into the team of the year. So I secured his loan move from Santos for 1.7 million. Bargain. He's a typical Brazilian fullback, so I love him. Dave's dodgy kind of researcher role, putting Chiquinho over 2.1 release clause, Marsh, made that permanent, but 25 bags a week. He went from. He's literally my next highest played player at the time was on about $7,000 a week. So I'm relying on Dave doing his research well that he's going to turn into a bit of a star player for me and hopefully recoup some money later on down the line when Benfica probably buy him off me or Porto, which will be fine. We'll rinse them. I spoke about John de Cadiz, my striker, who was leaving it late in the transfer window. Again, can't remember if we spoke about it or not, but he eventually went to Leicester for 5.5 million. Literally warming the bench for Leicester, but his value went from 5.5 million that obviously I sold him for up to about 35 million at Leicester. He's not a 35 million pound player, but you know, English league bias for transfer values. 50% of that went to Benfica. Because that's how Famalicão have done a lot of their deals, which is fine. Because I'm pretty sure I did. Did I speak about my little recruitment focus that I'd set up myself for the big three clubs? So I got a scout in from each that was kind of an expert, and had worked for Benfica, Porto, and Sporting, and I've got them shortlist set up. So I've literally got all players from the B team. Under 19s, whatever they've got, just being scouted and just keeping an eye on them, like people that are going to get close to, like obviously their contracts expiring, or if they have a transfer figure that's quite low and worth doing. Obviously, that was something I looked at the end of the season, just to start bringing a few people in. So from Porto, I brought in Luis Gomez, who's a centre back, Abraham Marcus, who's a left winger, come forward. João Marcelo is a centre back, and Gonzalo Ribeiro is a goalkeeper. All of them rated kind of B or above by my scouts, and none of, I think I paid for one of them. It's about 150 grand. The two centre halves look promising. They're good. They're both my backups for season three now. So they're making their way into the first team. From Sporting, I've got a defensive midfielder called Enrique Ariol and a left back called Marco Cruz. Now, he's actually a centre midfielder, but they retrained him to be a left back. And he's literally five-star potential from my coaching team. Like, so on my squad view, he's five-star. And I got him for free from Sporting, so thank you very much. Nice. Benfica, I got here. I bought Martin Minetto. He's probably a few people have heard of him, little playmaker. He, because Gonzalo Asensio, no, Gustavo Asensio, because it looked like he was going to run his contract down, I wanted to get a deep line playmaker in to replace him. And Neto cost me about 250 grand, I think. And he's like promising kind of playmaker from Benfica. And yeah, he's literally, I'm playing him as my first team DLP at the moment. Really, really good player. And I managed to bring back Enrico Araujo, the striker that we had on loan in season one. In the January window, I got him for 300 grand, something like that, because he literally hadn't played a game for Benfica. So I managed to get him back as well. So out of kind of Porto, Sporting and Benfica, I've got 8 players in the second season I've managed to get from them that are all bar one, two, first team, have played in the first team. So that's a good little kind of recruitment strategy that we're picking up players on the cheap that are being developed well at those clubs because they've all got fantastic training facilities, obviously good coaches, and we're going to pick up the pieces of those. Obviously, where the Cadiz transfer was taking quite a lot of time, I had to delve into my affiliate club, not Wolves, Atletico Madrid. Obviously, the stature of their club, I'm not going and getting players, you know, from the first team from them. But I did get a player called Marcus Paulo, who again is like a wide player, come attacking midfielder, come striker, like kind of just plays in all of the attacking roles. And Giuliano Simeone as a striker. So I wanted him as a pressing forward. My God, he's a fantastic little player in the Portuguese league. Had both of those on loan. I think Simeone scored 22 goals in the season and Paulo scored 15. And then I made, obviously it's kind of flashing forward a bit, but I have bought Simeone in on a permanent because he was that good. So that's really, really good. Results-wise against the big teams, Benfica, we watched it on after the pod one night, beat them 5-2 at home, and then away was 1-1. So compared to season one, that's positive because I lost both those games. Porto, I lost 3-1 at home and 6-2 away. I think I mentioned that I got Vincent Kompany'd in that second game. After Nuno was kind of losing his grip on the team, they got him Vincent Kompany and absolutely dicked me. It's annoying, but one thing I love, I mean, I've said this to you, Dave, definitely multiple times, the winger Galeno. He's one of my favourite wingers in Football Manager, like, and he has been since my Villarreal saves. I had him at Villarreal. And every game, mate, I look at him. When he was at Braga, brilliant. And now he's obviously at Porto. He was always an explosive winger, was his description, but because he's got incredible pace. and he just destroys me. And I kind of sit there going, yeah, he was great for me. So I let him have it. And against Sporting, I beat them 3-0 away and 3-0 at home. So done the double over them, which is quite nice. They did stay with Amorim all season. Until he left to take the Juventus job at the end of the season. And now they've just promoted someone from within to be their manager. So we'll see how that goes. We obviously qualified for the Europa League as well. Had a really good Europa League campaign. I was sitting in Discord with Dave crying. got drawn in the semi-final against Aston Villa. Lost at home 2-1 to a very late goal that we conceded. Went to Villa Park. Went 3-0 up within about half an hour. Ended up drawing the game 3-0. Absolutely bottled it. Fucked it up. But Aston Villa did go on to beat Manchester United in the final. So I lost to the eventual winners. I was never expecting to do anything in the Europa League. Like, literally, it was just we qualified for the first time. I thought, you know, just get in there, do the business, and kind of get out. You know, hopefully get out of the kind of the starting stages. And then get knocked out by one of the big boys. But yeah, we just seem to pick up results all the way through. We did have to play at Gil Vicente's stadium as well because our stadium was too small. So we was always playing our home games technically away. But didn't seem to hurt us. As I say, got to the semi-finals and then lost. But the season, it was very, very close, but we finished second in the league. Massive result. Qualifies us for the Champions League playoffs, like similar to what Mads just done with AIK, where you have to qualify to get into the Champions League. My first game, I got drawn against Ajax. And got knocked out 2-1 with the results. But obviously, it was Ajax. Like, you'd expect them to be in the Champions League proper. Our team is nowhere near the quality of Ajax's. And then you get knocked out, and then you hear nothing. You click on the little trophy, you know, on the sidebar to see what competitions you're in. Nothing. I'm like, what was that? It? You finish second, and you don't even get Europe. But then, just as the season is about to start, it comes up, oh, you're in the Europa League. So we've got a Europa League campaign to kind of crack on with. But obviously, as it gets to the end of that second season, a few players have left. Some new players will join, and yeah, we'll have a crack at season three. Obviously, I was talking about it previously. We had a good session on Sunday where we was lighting up the fixture list in green. So hopefully we can have another great season. And the reason that I wanted to play Vitória in that last game is because they were matching me step for step. Like, all those games I had in green, they were winning as well. So it was kind of, I wanted to play that game to go, right, how do we finish this day of playing? Who's going to come out on top in the league? So, yeah, we're doing all right in season three. So, there you go. Bumper update,
you
good enough for you?
Cracking Gosh. On epically, yeah, awesome.
You can listen to that Batman and you can write me a blog so I can carry on playing, all right?
Should use ChatGPT for that. Just on the playoff, Joe. So
Chat
you
GBT plus LK.
Whatever it's called on that Champions League playoff. So when did you get Ajax? Was it so like, for example, I know when I went into it, I went into a first round, a second round, a third qualifying round. So I had to play three matches to get in the group stages. But where did
was,
you kind
it
of land?
It was literally the first
the last
game.
One?
It was like my second game of preseason.
So early,
like,
to
so
get
it
there.
Was the yeah.
That's
literally
a tough
got Ajax.
Yeah, that's very rough, not in fairness.
Yeah, it is what it is, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. I don't want this save to be over early. Do you know what I mean? And there's no way. We're not competing with the big three, but it's football, isn't it? Like, you get results and you can, over a course of a season, you can get in there. We was already in and amongst them from the previous season. This one, I can't remember off the top of my head. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Sporting won the league. I'd have to have a look. I can't actually remember. But there was one runaway, then it was all of us were all within points, and yeah, just literally took it down to the last game of the season to get second place.
Fair play.
I'm in no rush to win everything.
Mm. Awesome work there. Awesome work. Are we expecting the same sort of awesome work over here with you, Matt? Or
just before I do that as well, sorry. That stadium. Obviously, we was renting because we got Champions League qualification. We rented that stadium for the whole of season three. So they're expanding our ground because we got Champions League. But obviously, got knocked out in the first round. But
the first
instance,
you played one Champions League game there.
We play at Gil Vicente's ground as all our home games now. But what's weird is we're getting 5,500 kind of capacity at our normal home ground. We'll be getting like 10,000-12,000 at Gil Vicente. So I don't know if it's that we've got the supporter base to be able to feel more, or it's just the location that, you know.
So, are you capacity?
Want to come and
see
us? Yeah.
You are.
We sell about 400 season tickets though, but we sell out every game. But we've only got about 400 season tickets.
It's mental, isn't it? That is utterly mental. Great work though, Joe. Awesome. Looking forward to hearing some more. Yeah, Mad, let's go see you. What's happening at AIK?
It's not dissimilar to Joe, I would say. I think the last time I spoke, we were going quite well in the league. I was top of the league, and we were just coming up, because timing is everything in this, and I keep saying it, I'm still getting my head around it. The league started in April, so when you get to, we got to July, and we were kind of flying it in the league. Probably 60-70% of the league is done, because it finishes kind of end of October. But we finally got to find out what was happening with the Champions League. And it's a long old, like, so we were champions of Sweden from the year before. So we go into this Champions playoff draw. So you're basically up against a load of teams who've won their leagues. So in the first playoff round, we managed to beat Qarabeg, who were Azerbaijan champions, into the second knockout playoff qualifier round, whatever you call it. And we got Ammonia Nicosia, who I believe Neil Lennon used to manage. So there's that. And then we managed to overcome them. There's two legs every one, by the way. So that's four games done. Then we've drawn Young Boys in the third and final playoff rounds, who are the champions of Switzerland. And we just about managed to beat them. I think we had a draw on the first leg at home, but they managed to beat them away. So we got into the
stadium called
the Young Boys Stadium, is it?
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you.
The Wankdorf.
It's called Wankdorf the Wankdorf Young Boys Stadium.
Wankdorf Young, it is. It genuinely is.
You went Wankdorf Young Boys.
Oh my gosh. Oh dear.
I'm done.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
There's my Ike side playing in the Friends Arena. Friends.
Well, there's the title.
Yeah. Shit. So yeah, we managed to get into the Champions League. As I was saying about it's a new format. So it's like 36 teams are in it. We played Celtic in the opener. We had a draw. Then we went and played Fenerbahce. We actually lost away in Turkey. And then a crazy thing happened. And Dupa loved this because we beat Man United 2-1 at home in the Champions League. I think I was doing Discord updates. It really happened, Joe. If that's
I was off stream.
I was giving Discord updates as it happened, but it did happen. We actually got a man sent off as well at the end.
Yeah, there was 4 hours in between updates on that one because you had to save and reload.
That's how I play the game. Then what happened? We played Leverkusen. We had a draw, and so that was those four games done. So we weren't too bad. I think you have to finish in the top 24 of this 36-team league to do something. We were like hanging around 22nd. And then finally we had a relatively easy game against Sturm Graz from Austria. Just about beat them 1-0. That was on stream actually today as we were recording. And from there we played Milan also today. And it was 0-0 for the whole game. It was actually a really, really good game. Like quite a lot of chances. And 88 minutes... Our boy Jonah Kusi Asar, 17 years old now, scores a winner on 88 minutes.
What?
And I was on stream and I absolutely lost my fucking mind. but it was great, like, because I just wasn't expecting it. And it was a serious Milan team. They were actually top of Serie A at the time after 16 games and they were top of the Champions League thing. That game was at home as well. So that's kind of where I actually finished up today. I still have to play two games. And this is, again, you love this with the whole timing. So the league finished in November. I'll talk about the league in a second. We played those two games. So we played Milan before Christmas. And you know, then it gives you the number of days to the next game. The next game is against Barcelona, 42 days. And my lads go on holiday. So I'm just like, I don't even know how to prepare for this. But I put in some friendlies to warm up for our massive Champions League game to go to the Nou Camp. So it's mental. So I didn't get as far as that yet. Because it's 42 days. So it's a bit crazy. Back in the league, though.
It's looking like.
So once we got the Champions League qualifiers done, I got a notification in to say the transfer budget had increased from 385K to 7.6 million, which was really nice for that league. And like for context, the highest transfer budget I'd had before that was I think, 2 million or something like that after I won the league in the first season. So, and again, we get that, and that's like July, August. So our window is open, but it's kind of a weird one because the squad was going well. We're top of the league. So you're mainly kind of trying to buy for the Champions League. And I was looking around to see who's available. There wasn't a huge amount available because like my reputation hadn't really changed, I feel, because I'm still in the middle of the league season. It's all a bit screwy in my mind. So we ended up just buying one player, and it was a player from Joe's team in Famalicão called Gustavo Sá. Who, Joe, I'd heard you mention him. I've probably seen him a couple of times like on Twitter and stuff. And even in real life, I think he's doing a bit. He's kind of highly regarded. So good player, two and a half million. Mm. He looks quite good. He's only 18, I think, when I've bought him, maybe 19 at max. And again, he's one of those players I'm hoping to be one of my long-term double Mazzalas because we're still rocking that system. Also, bad news today.
He could definitely play that.
Definitely. Yeah, like that. Yeah. And I actually have started to redo a bit of, like, to fully focus, like, training him on that role, and also a couple of additional focus things and stuff.
Because he's like a number 10.
Yeah.
As standard, and I've retrained him to be his Segundo Valente on attack.
Mm. Love it. And he's one of those players that just passes the eye test as soon as you open his profile with the kind of, you know, solid attributes all around, I guess. And he's going to be actually quite important now, sooner than planned, because literally today on stream, because again, the timing, we had Oscar Højlund on loan from Copenhagen for the second season running. And while he was happy to be there on loan, he hadn't shown any interest in joining permanently. And we had a 1.6 million optional fee, which is a bargain for this player. He's really good. Like, he scored like 10 goals and maybe 9 assists again this season. So he was about 4 days from going. So I've put in the bid again, and he actually was willing to discuss terms. But he wanted about 12 or 14 grand. For context, the highest salary in my team is about 7. And the biggest beef I had with it was that the agent had a mandatory release fee to foreign clubs of 2.7 million. And I was like, nah. So I ended up having to walk away from that. And then he's fucked off back to Copenhagen. And I'm still in the Champions League. You know, even though my league season is over, I've now lost our most important midfielder with 2 games to go in the Champions League. So that's a bit of a disaster, which means Gustavo Sá is going to probably be the manjo, hopefully, over in the camp.
Could your man from Midtjylland, could you get him?
Is that Diamande?
More Swedish. Yeah.
He already, because he was playing for, who did I play in the Champions League? Must have been, I think it's Leverkusen. He came on against me and scored for Leverkusen. So that was a game that finished 2-2, and they went 2-1 up on 91 minutes, and we equalized on 93. So he's already gone. So I think it's going to have to be Gustavo Sá for the time being. Now, again, we're in January now at the time I speak, so I can still bring in some players. My budget actually was up to about 10 million by the time we went through the jigs and the reels. If we win a game in the Champions League group stages, we get 2.8 million euros. It's nuts. It's insane. So, like, that's going to really set us apart. So, yeah, that's what we have to look forward to. We did win the league. I didn't really mention the league, but we did win the league the second time around. So we've actually won it 2 years in a row. It wasn't at a canter, though. And as you were saying it, Joe, you were saying that Vitoria were following you along when you were all green on your fixture list. So were they? I had that with Djurgårdens all the way through. So, like, even though I was winning all these games, so were they. So they actually caught up because I dropped a few points, including, I think, losing to them. And it got to, there's 30 games in the league. It got to game week 28. And we were the evening game, or the last game of the day. And I've gone to play someone, can't remember, away from home. And you know when it shows, like, so their game was on 2 hours before us. And so it says latest score, and it had them down as 2-2 against Malmo or someone. So I've gone into my game straight into latest scores, and it's still 2-2. And then I'm kind of in my mind going, that game must be over, even though it doesn't necessarily update. Mm. So we ended up drawing our game, but so did they, and we won the league by default. So happy days. I wasn't even ready for it in my mind because I was expecting to have to, you know, continue winning all the way to the end. But the big standout really was, again, I just have to keep talking about Jonah Kousi-Assar. Like, I'm hearing so much from other people in the stream and in Discord and stuff, what they're seeing and the moves he's making in their saves. I've heard that he's gone for like 40 million here, 30 million there. He scored, now bearing in mind I had 6 legs of Champions League qualification football, plus the extra Champions League group games, plus the league games and a Swedish Cup. He got 30 goals in the season, 23 in the league, which is good because he wasn't starting every single game. Because he's only 17, he wouldn't be the fittest. So if we had a game 2 days later, he wasn't able for that. So, and positively, just kind of a couple of days back, locked him in for a new contract. Just after we beat Man United, he had scored the winner. And then it said that Man United and Arsenal were interested in him. Mm-hmm. But we had to wait. He was on a pre-contract from when he went from 16 to 17 years old. So he wouldn't discuss terms. I had to wait a couple of months. And then we just about managed to lock in a new deal with no release clause. So he's not going anywhere for the time being. But man, what a player. Like, it's lovely to watch a game.
Nice. So that's the put him in the window, isn't it? He's in the window now. Everyone's going to want him.
I'm telling you, I saw FM Scout tweeted out about him as well, just about being a meta striker, and they ran a simulation.
I don't think that'll affect your save, though.
No, it won't. but he's one to look out for in FM24 and hopefully in real life. A lot of comparisons to Alexander Isak, even though I think this guy's even taller already, 6'5".
Lazy comparisons.
Yep.
Easy comparison. From one great manager to another, David.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the Penty.
So yeah, like I said, I haven't played a huge amount over the last week or so. And I think this time last week, just started off a new save. Obviously moved teams to a team called SuperSport United in South Africa, in the South African Premier League. So I think we were media predicted to finish like between fourth and sixth, basically. So I thought, oh, you know, should have a decent little go at things this season. Started off, won the first game 3-0, was rubbing my hands together thinking, yeah, we're gonna do it now. But I've been on an awful run of form, like over the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. We only won one game. We won one of the next 10. So we were abysmal, really. We lost out in both cup competitions quite early on. In South Africa, you've got the league, you've got a trophy called, I think it's the MTN 8, which is like the top 8 teams, I think, all going to a little tournament to get a bit more money. We're out of that early. We're out of the League Cup quite early. So we're on an awful run of form. But basically, I was still using the system that I was playing at the old club Venda. So it got to sort of midway through October. We were still pretty okay because we were still drawing quite a lot of games, but we were probably only like 4 or 5 points ahead of the drop zone. But right, I've got to change things up here. So I changed systems. I just went on tactics, clicked vertical tiki-taka, picked a formation. To be fair, I've changed a few of the instructions, changed a few of the roles, and we won the first game against a team that had won 7 straight. And since then, we've drawn our last 2 games. Frustratingly, the last one was against a team 1 from bottom. So this change in formation has helped us a little bit. We've got about 5 games now until the winter break. Really by then I want to be top half in a position where I can really start pushing towards the top 4 again. I'm not going to win the league this season. I don't think I'll qualify for continental competitions this season. But you know, we've got a positive goal difference. We're just not putting teams to bed, really. My issue was that I was playing the 5 at the back. So it was like a 5-2-3 with the 3 strikers. And with Venda last season, it worked really, really well. You know, we'd score a lot of goals. But for some reason in the Premier League, this one, like I said, we're keeping teams would score against us. But going forward, I don't know what it was. It was just unbalanced, really. I didn't think we had a good balance. I felt like we need to exploit wingers a little bit more and have a little bit more joy on the wings. And that's why I've gone with a 4-2-2. 2 strikers, 2 out wide, 2 defensive midfielders and a flat back 4. Like I say, it's doing okay. I've got signed a couple of new players, no one that you guys would know of. The goalkeeper I think I alluded to last week is called Gilherm. I think he's Brazilian born, but he has actually represented Russia IRL. Great attributes, but struggling quite a lot, and the press are getting on his back quite quickly, actually. So I'm having to defend him quite a lot in the press. Which is okay for me because it keeps boosting his morale a little bit. We still got a young lad up front. He's on a youth contract, 16 years of age. He's actually our top goal scorer on £25 a week. But what I've done is, because his composure is okay and his finishing's quite good, I've just set him a player instruction of just shoot more often. But if you've got half decent finishing, as soon as you get in around the area, just have a go and test the goalkeeper. So I'm hoping that'll help him score more goals. But like I said, 16 years of age, and he's already started 11 games for me and come off the bench on one. And we have got other capable strikers, but I think he'll turn into an absolute beast, whether it's by the end of the season or the next season following. But yeah, like I said, there's not a lot of players that you guys would have heard. I've tried to sign a few South African internationals, so we have got some good players there. And no disrespect to Venda, but SuperSport, a much bigger team, way better financially, much better attendances. And at the moment, yeah, Venda, we did beat them 3-0. I did feel a bit bad, to be fair. I had to like apologise and stuff in the press, but they're rock bottom at the moment and they're 5 points adrift. So I think they may well be going straight back down this season. But we're doing okay, but could be a lot better, really.
Dave, I think you need to bring this young player with you wherever you go. The 16-year-old, just make the thing.
He's not even that bad, to be fair. Yeah, they've got some good youth players, like good young players, to be fair. A lot of wingers. So now I've changed formation. I might try and, you know, bed them into the squad. But yeah, he's good. He's 5'11", so a decent height to him. He's good header of the ball. His jumping reach could be a little bit better. But to be fair, he scored 4 goals in 5 games for the under-20s, South African's under-20s team as well. So he's a really talented player. And I think by the end of the season, if I can start getting some of his attributes up, like his finishing, if that can go 16+, his composure can get a little bit better. But got good technique. Technique's always important, the 14. Work rate's 13. So I think he's got all the attributes there to be a solid young player. And I'm hoping that he can, you know, crack on for me and start scoring more goals.
Bosh.
Fingers crossed for you, mate. Fingers crossed. We need to, I mean, how many seasons is that now? 2?
Yeah, I'm only in the second season. I'm hoping by, I don't know, it depends how much I play. By the end of, next week's pod, I'll hopefully have this season done because I want to try and play a lot more over the weekend. But I don't know if to set myself a target of maybe the first Champions League by Christmas. I think that's almost still 20 days away. It's still quite realistic, but I suppose it just depends how much I play the game.
Technically 23 days, mate. We are literally on midnight on the 7th or 6th. Going into the 7th, so
yeah. So yeah, I think there's enough time to get a few more seasons. I think SuperSport have got all the backing there to be the team that does it. Because it's so open at the moment. It's just sort of how much money you want to throw. And I know I said last week, I think we could just do it on the Never Never, just buy loads of players or whatever. But I'll see. But yeah, I got the team there. It's just trying to find the right system to make sure we win football matches.
One to watch in the near future then, David.
Yeah.
Things to watch in the near future. Hopefully, like I said, this evening I'll be live on Twitch. So I don't really have a save update. I've been kind of trawling through databases, having a little look through saves that I could potentially do. We're still really thinking about doing Cirencester Town, which is my local side, 2 divisions below the Vanarama National South, which is not an easy save. But yeah, I'm still not entirely convinced on that. So I'm sure, hopefully, by Monday, by the time the pod's out, I'll have an idea of what we do.
I was just going to say, dude, like the saves I've enjoyed, I feel like I haven't done it for a while, was when you did the likes of Palermo and Red Star, those kind of longer ones where you ended up with like particular, probably new gens, but they're some serious players. I feel like you need to do that at some point, that one club save.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, yes, I enjoyed Palermo. Palermo was one of my favourite saves I've ever done. There's been a few. Obviously, the penalty I really enjoyed. And actually, I think I spoke to you about it last night, didn't I, Dave? Like, Dave come in moaning about his penalty and I'm like, just quit so I can do one. Because like, the more you talk about it, like the more I want to do one. But I can't do one when you do one. So I guess I'll probably do one next year. But like, yeah, those sorts of saves are fun, man. No, I can't do a penny. Why? Dave's doing a penny. I can't do
it. He's afraid Dave will do it before.
I don't mind. You're probably thinking.
I mind.
It's like someone going, oh, managing Man United, and someone else is managing Man United.
No. It's more, you know, I do want to do one. The more Dave talks, well, he's got a 2-season head start, technically, isn't he?
Still play more. You play way more FM than me.
No, I'll be honest. I just don't know where my the save is at yet, and I will get to that. And I'll either have an idea or I will bring something very different. I'll either go with an idea that we've already discussed or I'll come with something absolutely brand new to the table. But we shall see. But Maddie, if I did a Cirencester Town save, it would be kind of focusing more like the Palermo save, but it's niche. And it's hella niche, and it's fucking low, man. It's proper low. Like, we were looking at databases last night, Dave, and like we can genuinely get to the team that I played for, which is like, I think it was like level 12, which is like 6 divisions below the Vanarama. Like, how silly do you want to go? Like, it's mental. But obviously the problem is I don't. We've had issues with edited databases in the past. The Palermo save, Joe, I'm sure you can remember. We had to get one for this because it was in Serie D, didn't we? And then I didn't cock it up. The database was fucked. And then we had to read, and it was just a nightmare. And I don't want that stress. And then we had the issue of doing the penalty where we couldn't, that wasn't edit databases, but I was struggling with adding and removing leagues and stuff like that. Just kills saves. It just kills the motivation and kind of kills that momentum. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure I'll knock some heads together and we'll come up with something decent. But yeah, that's kind of what we should look out for very soon. And again, and something else that we should look out for is probably next week's pod, because we probably haven't got time for the spotlight this week, which will probably be chucked into next week, which is, I think, the third week in a row we've said we've not got time for the spotlight. So eventually we'll get there. But at the moment, these save updates are just awesome. I love hearing about your saves, and I'm looking forward to being able to add to that segment. But before that, I think we should now head over to Adventures in Wonderkid Land, because it takes us back to Germany to look at a striker whose 6 goals and 4 assists has helped Hoffenheim climb to 6th in the Bundesliga table after 13 games played so far this season, making him the highest under 21 goal scorer in the league currently, which has led to massive rumours of him joining Liverpool in the future. That player is Maximilian Bayer. What the fuck?
Max.
It's Max Bayer. We're going Max Bayer. It's very late. I can't read anyway. And a 21-year-old German striker who in FM24 possesses 17 pace, 16 acceleration, 16 determination, and 16 work rate. That's not a bad little set of attributes, gents. What are you thinking?
Never heard of him.
No, it's genuinely the first time. Actually, I'm pretty sure I've heard of this guy before.
I've not heard of him, but he's a baller. He's a very, very good player.
I have seen this guy before.
If that determination's set, mate, you're getting a serious baller on FM this year, I think.
He is I crossed him the first time I came across him. His name sounds familiar, but it's also kind of
it's
like
Max Meyer in it, maybe.
Similar yeah, to maybe that's it. He was like Schalke or something a long time ago, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I stumbled across him because he's got quite a good release fee. I think it's 20 million. Yeah, this is in euros. But I think it was a 20 million euro release fee, and he's valued between 12.5 and 15. But like, you can kind of guarantee to get him out for 20 if you want pretty soon. And when I saw, particularly the speed, like I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you could, he's down as a striker. Could probably play anywhere. And I just looked at it and went, loads here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Determination, work rate, and that fucking pace, mate. Mm. Natural fitness. Oh.
Yeah, he's a workhorse. He is an absolute workhorse.
Yeah.
6'1" with that pace as well. Mate, he's like also a complete striker as well.
You are missing something massive here. Long throws, 14.
Actually, I remember seeing that one. Why does he have that? Where does he get that from?
There you go,
yeah. Up the long throws.
Dope looking for the exploit straight away.
It's not the network save all over again.
Network save. Jumping with he's not getting in his team.
I think he's very, very good. I like him a lot. He's a very good little player.
He's only 20.
I'm excited.
Seemingly, yeah. What triggered me was I just came across a few tweets that said Liverpool are having a serious look at him. So, yeah, maybe Jurgen.
To be fair, after that striker they've got up front, they're going to need to replace him soon. So
true.
He could be the one. And obviously, Madge, you wrote about him before in a blog, which was the top 10 release clauses of FM24. Link will be down in the description of the video and of the podcast, so you can go check out them, because there are some other little great players in there, including my personal favourite at number 10.
They weren't in order.
Callum Gribben.
God,
release clause 427 million.
Throwback? We're chucking all the throwbacks today.
I was going to do on last week's quiz when I did the Champions League one at the end. I was going to do like a career path for like OG FM Wonder Kids that we always used to sign. I mean, I might still do it, but Callum Gribben was going to be one of them. Who was the one we mentioned the other day, Joe? That you came up against him? Was it Sis?
Zadas.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He was outrageous.
Yeah, there's some like Zadas. Proper. I'll have to maybe do that as a quiz in the future. But yeah, I'm just quickly looking at this guy again. Yeah, his PA is good. For people interested in him, to spell his surname, it's B E I E R. But yeah, he looks like a serious baller. To be fair,
he does. Talking of serious ballers, crikey.
I know why Mad recognises him.
Uh-oh.
Hold your beer bottle up.
There you go.
Beer.
Maximilian Beer Moretti.
Beer buyer. Yeah, it's all the one.
Okay.
That's the title for the pod there. Beer Moretti. Yeah. Maximilian Beer.
Max will love that because that's the second Beer and Moretti reference we've had on the podcast.
Yeah, Maximilian Beer and Moretti. There you go.
The Max Beer.
Love it. Quiz, not this week. We'll drop a quiz next week.
Yep.
So I think it's probably a nice way to say but that does actually bring episode 330 to a close. And you can find the links for each of us in the podcast description or by visiting 5starpotential.com where you can find all of our latest Football Manager content. 5-Star Potential is available on iTunes, Spotify, and most of our popular podcast apps and platforms with a new podcast release every single week. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us next week. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Ciao for now.